99, the message tonight is about the prayers of Moses. Let me read you three passages and then discuss his prayers as a whole. 99, Psalm 99, and verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. So these three are joined together. Now, let's look at Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. Verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And now, back to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. And the heading of the psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Let's speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the lives of the saints and the sinners that you have recorded for us. All of them are written for our learning. But thou dost know that having looked at the sinners, we learned how to be saved, and now that we are saved, we would look at the lives of your children, our God, who, because of the way that they did some particular thing, you were impressed and spoke about them from heaven. And we desire to learn a little bit about Moses and his prayers this night. So help us, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It just happens that in the three passages that I read to you, in one of them, we have Moses praying alone. In the other, we have Moses and Samuel associated with one another. And then, in Psalm 99:6, it mentions Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. And then it says that Moses and Aaron are priests, but then it mentions Samuel, and it says, they all called upon my name. So this is a remarkable thing. It tells us that apart from all others, whether they prayed or not, Moses was the man of God who prayed. And then, just as God looked down from heaven and said, have you considered my servant Job? God, having listened to the cries of his children, thought of two that were most impressive, and those two were Moses and Samuel. And as God said, have you considered my servant Job? His uprightness. Now, here, have you considered my servant Moses, my servant Samuel? And then also, it mentions Aaron. So, here is the life of Moses, and he prays by himself, and he prays with one more, or he prays with many. That's a remarkable thing. When is the last time you asked somebody to come and pray with you? Not many Christians do that. Some do. They want to pray with others. And that's what happened. You'll find three times in the book of Numbers that Moses and Aaron fell upon their faces and they prayed together. But when you come to other saints, we're not told that they ever prayed with anybody. With whom did Samuel pray? He would pray for the people, but he would never join in prayer the way Moses and Aaron did and pray to God. And not only that, but Elijah, the prophet, was also a man of prayer, and yet in all his prayers, he was always seen praying alone. And that is mostly how I pray, alone. At times, as at a prayer meeting, that's one thing, but to make a request, my brother, my sister, I want you to pray with me. I cannot recall doing that, unless there was some great necessity and someone telephoned and said, remember this brother, he's at the point of death. And so that is what I would do. But I mentioned Moses praying by himself and Moses praying with at least one other, his brother Aaron, but then Moses praying with many. Why Moses is so important as an example of prayer is this. That not only did he pray to God as occasion demanded, but he had a special tent that he took outside the camp, far away from all the disturbances in the camp, and he would go and pray to God and fellowship with God in that tent. And it says this, and if any of the others wanted to seek the Lord, it said, they went out to the tent with him. Now that's a lovely thing. If I were Moses and Samuel, I would feel his equal. If I were Moses and Aaron, the high priest, at least there is a likeness. But here I am an ordinary Christian, just a sinner saved by grace. And yet Moses had that tent, and it was not exclusive, but when anybody wanted to seek the Lord in prayer, it said they went out with him to the tent. How remarkable. So Moses is not one who just prayed on occasion, but he prayed on various occasions. And I checked out all the prayers that I could find of Moses, and you may be able to add some to this. See if you can. I'll be glad to add it to my list. All the prayers of Moses and all the prayers of Elijah and all the prayers of Samuel. And you'll find that Samuel has recorded 4 times that he prayed, and Elijah has recorded 7 times that he prayed, and Moses has it recorded over 20 times that he prayed. And what is so remarkable is this. Tell me any words of the prayer of Samuel that he prayed in the 4 instances I've given you. You say, I can't remember. Well, if you can, come and illumine me, because what he prayed is not given. But when you come to Elijah, you'll find his prayers laid out before us, the very words that he spoke. And when you come to Moses, at times it mentions those prayers, and some are not mentioned. But at least I can read about Elijah and see what kind of prayer warrior he was, and I can look at Moses and see how he prayed to God. And the remarkable thing is that all of them are praying to God, but they have their different way of approach to God, and yet God is impressed by all of them, at least by Moses and Samuel. And later, he adds Aaron. Now, it says this. Listen carefully, because I would not mislead you, but I would want you to accept the truth. God said concerning Moses and Samuel, though they stood before me, my mind would not be toward this people. Cast them out. What is he telling you? He is telling you that at times men such as Moses and Samuel stood before him and turned his mind toward the people. Think of when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and during his absence, they had made a golden calf, and God said, when he came down, he said, "Let me alone." He said, "Let my wrath wax hot against them, and I will destroy them and make of you a nation in their stead." This is the mind of God. But Moses interceded, and God at the end said, "I have heard your petition. I'm going to answer your prayer." Now, it says in Jeremiah 15, just accept it, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people." And so there are times when even men of such stature as Moses and Samuel cannot change God. But at other times, a man of the stature of Moses can change God, and Samuel can change the mind of God. And that's a remarkable thing. Some refuse to believe that there is anything that can be altered by prayer. This is what God says concerning Elijah in James chapter 4, verse 17. "Elijah was a man of like passions, and he prayed that it rain not, and it rained not for 3.5 years. And he prayed again that it might rain, and the heavens gave forth rain." I see. So he is telling us and exhorting us to pray, because our prayers can influence the heavens and the earth, and also the prayers can influence the way that God deals with his sinning people. That's why I would have you to pray for me, because I believe that God will answer prayer, and there are certain directions that life would go if prayer was not offered, and then the direction is changed when prayer is offered. When the Savior said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," I take that prayer as one to prevent their immediate destruction, the way that Moses prayed that God would not immediately destroy Israel. And then God preserved the nation of Israel until AD 70. But even then, the prayer of Christ was in effect. But then God, just as he said concerning that fig tree, he said, "Why, this fig tree is barren. Cut it down." And there was an intercession. "Leave it a while longer and let me dig about it and enrich the soil." And so here is Christ again. And he prays for the nation of Israel, and God gives them some 40 years before his judgment falls. But his judgment eventually falls. So remember this, that it may be, and you and I do not know, that God is looking upon your life and mine, the life of our country, and you do not know how long God's wrath can be held in abeyance. God knows when his wrath should fall. This is what it says concerning even Abraham, the promises of God. "The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full, and therefore God is watching. And when that time comes, then the iniquity is visited by God, and they are judged. Unless yet 40 days shall Nineveh be overthrown." But Jonah goes and gives that message, and when that message is given, the Ninevites repent, the highest to the least, and God, who said 40 days, he said, "I'm not going to destroy them." Isn't that a remarkable thing? That God said, "Let me alone." To think that I can so affect the mind of God that he knows what I'm going to pray for, and he says, "Let me alone and let me destroy them." But Moses said, "I'm not going to do it." And look at the substance of Moses' prayers and how he reasoned with God and how he went about securing an answer from God in the most difficult situations. So here is Moses. Indeed, he is a man of God. And you have ever so many of his prayers recorded that he prayed, the very words, and you have that magnificent psalm, Psalm 90, and I take the heading as being that which is correct. Someday I may tell you about the headings of the psalms. But it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So here he is, a man of God, and he's a man of prayer, and the Lord mentions him and his brother, and it mentions Samuel, and that is the way that they are to be remembered. Elijah, the man of prayer. Samuel, the man of prayer. Moses, the man of prayer. And this is the way that God wants them to be remembered. This is most remarkable, that you read about the life of Moses for 40 years, and you read nothing of prayer. You read about Moses for 40 more years, and you read nothing of prayer. But when he becomes 80 years of age, and God is sending him under duress to rescue his people and lead them out of Egypt, Moses begins to pray. And so it may be that your life has been one of barrenness. But then if God places some responsibility upon you, you will understand that apart from the enabling of God, you cannot successfully carry out the will of God. And here is Moses, and he prays, first of all, I pray thee, Lord, have me excused. And so God says, I know your brother Aaron can speak well. And so here is Moses with that little prayer. I pray thee, O Lord, that you get somebody else to do the speaking to Pharaoh, because I'm slow of speech. I can't do anything about it. And so that was the start of his praying, that little prayer. But then after that, when Pharaoh is having the judgments of God fall upon him, you'll find that four times, Pharaoh calls Moses and he says, entreat the Lord for me, that these judgments go away. There were frogs and flies and hail and locusts. And for all of those judgments of God, Pharaoh said, entreat the Lord for me, and I'll do what you say. And it said that Moses went and cried unto the Lord, and all those frogs were taken away, and all the flies, and all the things that Pharaoh said, entreat the Lord for me. Moses prayed, and they were taken away. This is the first thing, that even those that are our enemies and would destroy us, at times it is opportune and appropriate to pray for them that the judgment of God not continue, but be limited. Four times we have Moses praying for Pharaoh. So, Moses was one who prayed for the unsaved and did them favors in his prayers, and God heard his prayers about the lost, the wicked, the enemy of the people of God, as well as he heard his prayer about the people of God. So Moses is one who prayed for his enemies. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Pray for those that hate you, that despitefully use you. And so here is Moses praying for Pharaoh. But what is so remarkable about Moses is that in Psalm 99 verse 6, we have Moses praying with Aaron. But you'll find in Exodus 32 that you have Moses praying for Aaron. Now, this is one of the most important points I'm going to tell you. Please remember it. If you read in Exodus, you'll read nowhere that Moses prayed for Aaron, his brother. But when you come to Deuteronomy, Moses tells us what he did. They're all grouped together, and Moses prays for the nation. But he said, I also prayed for Aaron, because God's wrath was hot against him. The great importance is this. If at a particular passage of Scripture, it does not say that such and such a thing happened, it does not mean that it did not happen. And if I told you why, when he prayed for the nation of Israel, he prayed for Aaron as well in a special way, you would say, how dare you add to the word of God? But what happens is this, that there are things that God tells us later on, and when we read them together, you'll find that God does not give us the full explanation at the first. What happens is that God will give us a little, and then if you read all the references, you'll see that God gives us much more. I remember on an occasion praying to God and having prayed, speaking about a certain character, and this character I was explaining, and I said, why, yes, he wrestled, he cried, he sent up petitions to God. And someone brought the book of Genesis to me and said, show me where all of these things happen that you're telling me about. And I said, oh dear, what have I done? But then I remembered that what Jacob was doing in the book of Genesis, God tells us in the book of Hosea, in addition to what we are told in Genesis, what Jacob was doing. And you see, we did not know until Hosea told us. Did you know that Enoch was a prophet until you get to the book of Jude? There's so many things we do not know. So, if passages arise and they seem to be contradictory, understand that in those passages may be contained truths that God has not as yet told you. That is one of the most important lessons you can learn, because some of us would be stumbled to think that you said that Moses prayed for Aaron. It doesn't say a word about Moses praying for Aaron. No, not until the book of Deuteronomy, when he says, and I prayed for my brother Aaron, because God was angry with him. And since we are speaking of the family of Moses, Moses also was requested by Aaron to pray for their sister Miriam. Aaron and Miriam rose up and challenged Moses because of one whom he had married. And God afflicts Moses' sister Miriam with leprosy. And here she is, strong, bold to criticize her brother, until God afflicts her with leprosy. And then there is an intermediary. First of all, we have Aaron, and he prays to Moses, please pray for my sister. Let her not go through life as one that is dead and her skin is falling off. And so then Moses, having been petitioned by Aaron, he petitions God, and God heals his sister. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That at times you have not the stature of Moses. It says, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would my mind not be toward this people. And how is Aaron going to pray for his sister when he was the one that with her criticized Moses? But he said, my brother Moses can intercede. And he did, and therefore God answered that prayer after someone else said, pray for my sister. There are many things that God has pronounced, but certain prayers, certain repentances will alter those things. Do you remember in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, who wanted to obtain the gift of God with money, and Peter spoke hard things against him. And when he got through, he said to Peter, pray that none of these things that you've spoken come upon me. Because he did not have the courage and the faith and the righteousness to cause these things to be prevented. But he said to Peter, who pronounced them, you pray to God for me. And so I'm asking you this. Where do you stand in relation to those that are of importance to God in prayer? Or is your prayer so insignificant, so spasmodic, that God doesn't take you seriously? Because there are some who pray, and I told you about this. Where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah? And I told you about some who used to pray so beautifully. And I would say, where is the Lord God of this brother, this sister? Because they could pray. But at times, there are some who would stand up and pray, and it's a cure for insomnia. What happens is this. They cause you either to wake up, or then they cause you to go to sleep. One of the two. But there are others who can lay hold on God, and your soul is thrilled. Let me tell you about one that I knew. He's with the Lord now. But he had no gift. He couldn't interpret the scripture. There was nothing about him that looked spiritual. And yet, when the man said, "Come and pray with me," and he got down on his knees and started praying for God, I knew that he was intimate with God. I knew that he was a friend of God. I knew that he had communion with God. And I've heard others that speak flowery prayers, and I shake my head and say, no, no. But here was this man who had only that special ability to lay hold on God, and your soul was thrilled. And so Moses was such a man. He could pray to God, and God would answer his prayer. Now, he prayed for Aaron, his brother, and God answered that prayer. He prayed for Miriam, his sister, and God answered that prayer. And he prayed one prayer for himself, and God did not answer that prayer. The thing that Moses wanted most, for 40 years he had been leading the children of Israel toward the promised land, and then he rashly disobeyed God, and instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock, and God said, "That ends your chances of going into the promised land." And Moses goes and he prays to God, "Oh God, I want to go into that promised land, that good land that you told us about for so long. Let me go in." And God said, "Let it suffice thee. Speak no more to me about it. You're not going in. You're going to die. You're not going in." Now how sad that a man can pray for his brother and sister and the prayer is answered. But he prays for himself, and God says, no. These are some of the things about Moses and his prayer life. And what God would have us to do is to think through prayer. What can be accomplished by prayer? Because one prayer was unanswered that he personally wanted, but the most magnificent of prayers was answered when the nation of Israel had sinned. And Moses said, "Oh God, I want you to show me your ways. I do not know how to take these people to the promised land. Show me your ways." And then he said, "And I want you to show me your glory." And God did both those things. He gave Moses wisdom as to how to be a shepherd. And he also gave Moses a revelation the likes of which no other man ever had. God placed him in a certain position, and he said, "You can't see my face, but I'll let you see all of me that you're able to bear." And when he went by, he pronounced his own name, and then he described his attributes, his heart. And Moses heard that from God, because he prayed to God and said, "I want it." And so, there are ever so many things that can be accomplished by prayer, and I've told you a few of them. In the life of Moses. That's enough.